Good morning, everybody. It was a privilege to worship with you and just to lift up the name of Jesus and to be reminded of what a great Father our God is. Amen? Some of you are here for the first time and just hope you feel welcome. One of the things I say regularly is that we all walk with a limp, and that's true. Every one of us. If you came to a church, you tried to go to church where everyone's walking straight and everyone's doing great and nobody has any trouble and we've all lived a perfect life, you're probably in the wrong place. Here we walk with a limp, but we are covered under the blood of Jesus. Amen? And that He holds us up. He holds me up. He gives me strength every day. He encourages me. And even when I fail, He picks me back up again and He says, carry on. Sometimes He's got to dust off, you know, the dust. And He's a great and a gracious God, and we celebrate that every Sunday. We just keep reminding each other that God is good. He's a good, good Father. I really love the songs that Crystal picked out. Really brought us into the throne room of the Father today, and what a great reminder that He loves you, and like I said, I can just see in your faces when we were worshiping today that there's a lot of tears, and there's people, and for lots of different reasons probably, things that break us, things that hurt us. This is not always the easiest day in the world. This is sometimes a hard day for those of you who are fathers and those of you who had bad fathers or some of you who never became fathers. Some people call this Father's Day. This morning I woke up, I thought this was regret day. It just felt like regret day for me. I'm just going to talk about that a few minutes before Pauline brings us the word. Just to be honest, let's be honest with each other today. I just had some time to sit on my couch with the Bible and think back on my children. I have five sons, and the oldest is 36 this summer, right? He's turning 36. And I don't know, you know, you go back, you look back at, I was talking to Don about this before, that, you know, you look back on your role as a father, and the truth is you only get to do it once. You know, we only get one chance at this, one opportunity to be a good dad. And we do some things well. I think I can look back on my life and you go, you know, there's some things I did right, but there's other things I wish I would have done differently. So I'm just going to open this up in a minute, and I'm going to start. And this maybe seems like a weird exercise to do on Father's Day, but I believe that healing comes from confession. And that we just sometimes just got to be honest and say, you know, I really blew it. I could have done so much better. And I wish that I could do some of that over again, but I can't. You know, I got a few texts from some of my boys today. Whew. They're so good to me. They're so much better to me than I ever was to them when they were little, I think. They're so gracious. You know, how you doing, Pops? You know, when my second son said, happy Father's Day, Pops. And he said, I can't wait to be here. He's going to be in Red Deer in a couple weeks. I can't wait to be with you. I don't think I deserve that. I think that I regret not being with my kids. That a lot of times I was gone, and Crystal was with them, raising them. I was gone at nighttime. I listened to, you know, the church that I was the pastor of at the time, basically told me that I needed to be away every night of the week, and I just thought that's true. I got to be at every meeting. Everything has to circle around me. I have to be in the evangelism committee meeting. I have to be at youth meeting. I have to be at council meeting. I have to be at executive meeting. I was in a meeting every single night of the week, and a lot of times I wasn't there for them, and I regret that today. I regret being angry dad. I don't know if any of you guys know who that is, but I was angry dad. Lots of the time, especially when I was in my life, when I was living with incongruity, when there was sin in my life, you know, you can hide a lot of things, but the anger was still there. And I was short with my kids sometimes, and I didn't have the patience for them lots of times. I just confess that today, and I say, God, I'm sorry. I've said that to them before, that I'm sorry that I just wasn't better. I don't know why I wasn't better. I wish I could do it over again. And when I look at my kids now, four of my sons are fathers, and they are such good dads. I'm so proud of them, and I'll tell them that today too. You guys are such good dads. I see you just sowing into the lives of your children and bringing them to baseball and taking them to church and praying with them and loving. They just love their wives. And I don't deserve to have that. I really don't, but I'll take it. I don't care if I don't deserve it. I'll take it. And I'm thankful that I can see that in the lives of my grandkids. So I don't know. Maybe no one else wants to share here today. Maybe there aren't any other guys here today who have any of those thoughts this morning. I think that, you know, it's one of those mornings where you can, some of you didn't have dads. So there's that whole thing too, right? Or you had dads who were abusive or who weren't there for you, who were clued out. That hurts too. Some of you never became dads. I know there's some people in our church who aren't here today. They don't come on this service because it's just too hard. They were never able. They were never blessed to have children. So it's, you know, everyone goes, Happy Father's Day, Happy Father's Day. But this can be a tough day. And for me, I just got to get that out. So anyone else want to share a regret or a thought? Or there's Doug and then Sonny. Okay. Maybe if there's another microphone, someone can come with another mic.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, two stepdaughters from my first marriage are about 39 and 41. And I went down and visited Kelly yesterday in Calgary, or Thursday in Calgary, for probably the first time in a year I saw her. But both of them call me dad now, and that's amazing. And it's just so neat that I could be away for so long, and when we get together, we just have so much fun. We just love on one another, and it's phenomenal, and it's all him, actually. You know, and she's not perfect, just like I'm not, but we just overlook that, and just it's amazing. And she's got two beautiful daughters, 11 and 12, and it was just so cool to see them and just hang out with her. And God has told me before that I really am a father, even though I have no bio kids. Currently two stepdaughters, but they both love me too, which is amazing. Hallelujah.
That's good. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Yes, praise the Lord. First thing I want to say this morning is I'm thanking Jesus because Rose's father is here in church with us this morning. So just give him a big kind of round of applause. Give Jesus a big round of applause. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to take you on a little bit of a journey bit that the Father did for me, and this is partly responsible for this is Pastor Stan, and partly responsible for this is Tim. When I was in the hospital, the Lord took me back to when I was just when I was first conceived. I was conceived in violence, and then He showed me for the first 6 months of my life that the enemy was trying to take me out. And all through that whole process of my life, right up till very recently, the enemy's been trying to do that, even this last time. And while I was in the hospital, the Lord set me aside one day, and I said, you know, He says, I put Rose in your life to show you that you can love. And I put Rose in your life to show you that you can be loved and that you are loved. And most importantly, that you are lovable. And I received my sonship that day because Jesus said, you now are a son. You now belong. Thank you, Stan. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. That's good. Yeah. Kirsten.
Father's Day has been kind of one of those days that was kind of like a blank for me because I didn't grow up with a dad. I didn't know my dad until I was, I didn't meet my dad a full day until I was 25 years old. I'm just so grateful to God that He is my father. But I didn't always know that, even though I grew up in the church. I knew it in my head, but my heart didn't know it. And it was just recently, my husband and I were, he's not here because we don't have kids. He's here, but he's away somewhere else. We were watching a movie, and there was a scene in this movie when there was a whole family sitting in a waiting room in the hospital, and they were waiting anxiously for a baby to be born. Then the nurse comes out and announces that a son has been born, and this whole family is just rejoicing and hugging each other and just having a glorious time. And it really grabbed my heart, and I said, nobody ever did that for me. My mom was alone in the hospital. It touched my heart that God fills every possible need that we could have. And one of my favorite verses is this one. You are he who pulled me out of the womb. You made me trust when on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. So there's no need in our lives, doesn't matter what it is, that God can't fill. It doesn't always happen in an instant. For me, it has been a long process to come into a place of trusting God as my Father, where he's meeting my needs. And I have still a lot more to come. I know that this is a process that is not finished. Just want to share that. Happy Father's Day.
That's awesome. Ted.
Thank you. Well, I heard this yesterday, and I thought it was pretty important. When you confess a sin or something you've done wrong before the Lord, it's removed as far as the east is from the west. And the only person that's going to remind you of it is the devil himself. You know, so when you have these terrible things, remember them. Just say, "Get behind me, Satan." They're no longer here. They're as far as the east is from the west. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Rob.
Thank you. Happy Father's Day, first of all. Everyone has a father. As equivocally as everyone has a mom, a mother. And it's because of her choice. I didn't know my father. I was adopted. I say an awful lot for adoption. And taking somebody's child and caring for them as your own. That's what the Lord does for me. And I'm his child. And he has victory, and especially in my life. It's really strange, but he's been there every step of the way. All I have to do is look back. And I see, like, even at the very beginning, the whole logistics behind it and complications. And it's glorious. It's wonderful. He makes the way. Mm-hmm. Have a good day. Thank you.
Amen.
Okay, don't know exactly what I want to say here, so I'm just going to kind of see where the Spirit leads. But I had, as a kid, what Stan kind of said, the angry dad. For many, many years, I had angry dad. Couldn't do anything right, always in trouble. And we didn't get along, so these days for me didn't really mean a lot. As time went on, though, I came to realize that he did love me, and that he would be there for me at any time. Drunk as a skunk at 2 o'clock in the morning, I can't drive home, come pick me up. And he would do it. When I was in trouble, he was there for me. He died about 11 years ago now, and I miss him. Just as we were starting to kind of get along and understand one another, he died, which tore me up for a while, but this is something he's been able to pass along to me, just the ability to say, I don't care who you are, what you're doing, you know, you need to give me a call, although they're a little too young to phone me drunk yet, but I'm expecting it in the years to come, and just that I love my kids no matter what, and I just feel so blessed to be able to have a couple of little beings to call mine.
Amen.
was that some of us have gone through a lot of hardship in our marriages over the years, and that the attack on the men is so strong. And I just wanted to say to the women that stood through some really ugly, ugly, ugly years and tough times and were encouraged to walk away, I'm just going to say thank you to the women that have stayed with men that have been difficult or it has been very hard. God sees that and he commends you for that. And he will reward you for staying in your marriage even when it's really, really dark. So thank you to the ladies that I know a few in this church right now that are sitting here that are sitting with their husbands, and it's not easy. But I know for myself, there were many times I went to church and I sat by myself and I cried and I was feeling very alone, but God has restored my marriage. And it is really healthy right now. And I'm so thankful to God that he restores things. So don't look at the darkness, but look at what's ahead, because it's a miracle what's happened in my family. And I am so thankful to God, because I never walked away and I never listened to the lies of the enemy to say, it's too hard. Go, run out of that house, leave your husband. I chose to stay. And I know sometimes we think, poor us, but we have to remember that the attack of the enemy is strong on men, and you need to just stand through it and look to God and to your loyal friends for help, because you don't hear it from everybody, but it's really, really important to stay. And it means an awful lot to your children when you choose that route. So thank you, God, for restoring. And one is right here behind me. And I'm so thankful that she chose to pray for her husband. And she is here today as a testimony of God. And I thank you, Sifa, for not walking away, but choosing to stay in your marriage and look at your beautiful family today. It blessed my heart to see those children walk through this door. And I thank you, God, that you love this family. And God, look at what you can do. Jesus, you're amazing. Amen.
Yes, I am just first time here today, but from my own experience, I had parents that were alcoholics. I had 6 brothers and 5 sisters, and spent a lot of time in children's aid and whatever. But since the time of being born again, the first commandment with a promise is love, honor your father and your mother. And I hold nothing against them. I feel free of that, because when you're born again, you get a new father in heaven that you can honor every day, not just one day of the year. And that is a freedom that you hold nothing against your parents, regardless of what they've done. Thank you.
I hope you heard that. That's well said. We don't need to hold those grudges. We don't need to hold that bitterness. That's why Jesus came. Amen. Just maybe one or two more. Anything else you want to bring up? Maybe Teresa. That's a good reminder.
I just want to encourage you men from Psalms 139. It says, O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or when I stand up, and you know my thoughts even when I'm afar. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home, and you know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me, and you place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me and too great for me to understand. And I can never escape from your spirit, and I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, and if I dwell by the farthest oceans, Even there, your hand will guide me, and your strength will support me. And I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to... Oh, dear. Sorry. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. And to you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You make all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it.
Amen. Good word. I love that psalm. I love it. Thank you, God. And Fortong, we're going to give you the last word today. So,
amen. Yes, I want to thank all of you. I want to thank Pastor Alvin and Pastor Stan and Ray and Kevin and everybody in this church. Yeah, so, and Brother Tim and Sister Barbara. And I want to thank all of you. This is my wife. And my kids came around. And I want to thank you so much because Pastor Stan and Pastor Alvin, you are my father in spirit. You are giving me the word of God to grow because I'm growing in this place. And I'm again a father because I can see now my children. I can stay with them. I can stay with my wife. I can build again my family. And I possess that in Jesus' name because that is my family. And I'm a father to my kids too. Thank you so much for what you have done for me. And I thank God to Pastor Alvin to stand with me and Pastor Stan and Ray too. Thank you so much. May God bless you.
Amen. Happy May God bless you.
Day. Amen.
May God, and you see the... Amen. And isn't it great that God is a God of second chances and that he, you know, he just allows us to, when we confess, when we want to start over again, he says, I'll let you start over again. And you know, I didn't mean to bring a big downer into this thing. Sorry if I did that. It's not fair for Paulin when he comes to preach. But I feel like there's a lot of healing that happens and it's really good that we do this. And just I appreciate all the different people who contributed. I'll end on a little brighter note, and then I'm going to ask Pauline to come up, and we're going to pray for you. But so when I finally did come to my senses in my life, my oldest son was 15, just going on 16, and we still had five boys, and they were all at home. And God did give me an opportunity to still be a dad to those guys. And I've been, you know, since then, you know, one thing I learned is that even when they're older than 18, they still need a dad. So I've been able to still be a dad to them, and I've been able to try to be a really good grandpa to my grandkids. So, like, it's never done. Like, there's things that we regret, but there's always the good, and God always shows us. He's a redeeming God. He always shows us what redemption looks like. And one of the really great memories, and this maybe doesn't help you at all, but I'm going to tell you anyways because it's my memory. One of the blessings that God gave me when my oldest son was 16, his name is Kyle, and the other kids went all the way down to about 10 or 9. Mackay would have been 9. We wanted to do something special one particular summer, and they really wanted to be able to go to Mexico, but there's no way in the world we could ever afford to go to Mexico. We didn't have any money. I didn't even have a job. I finally got a job working as a salesman, and that went on for a few years. But one of the things that we did that I'll never regret, and this was just kind of a happy memory for me, is we bought an old school bus. Some of you maybe know this story, but it was an old school bus. We said, you know what, we're going to just do this. We're going to have some fun. We're going to have an adventure. So we turned a school bus into a motorhome. And how you do that is you just take the lights off of it, and you say, you are now, I dub thee a motorhome. You take the stop sign off because you're not allowed to drive with that thing. And then you turn the seats around so that they're facing each other. We put a couple card tables. And we drove with the seven of us all the way from Red Deer to Mazatlan, 57 straight hours. And because we had to get there. We didn't have time. So we got down or we beelined it all the way to Mazatlan. I had two kids at that time, one of them who was 16, one who was 14. And they could legally drive, I guess.
as long as there was, you know, an adult in the car, even though we were sleeping some of the time. So we'd be in the back in the bed, and the kids just kept driving, and they'd drive for a few hours, and then Crystal would drive, and then I would drive. And we wanted to get there, so we took this old school bus, and it started out with 7 tires. By the time we got to Mazatlan, we had 4 tires left. And like there was, because there was 2 in the back and it was a spare tire, we blew 3 tires on the way to Mazatlan, and we couldn't find the right tire for this particular school bus. So we're just praying our way back from Mazatlan to across the American border where we could find more of these tires. We only had 1 back tire on each side. They're supposed to be dualies, you know. So we're just, and then one more quick thing. So while we're in Mazatlan, we want to go fishing, but we have no money. Like, we're just so lucky that we can be there. And we drove there for just a few $100 in a school bus with the whole family. But we sat through, Crystal and I sat through a timeshare thing about Mazatlan. We hated it. We knew what it was going to be about. But if you sit through the timeshare, then you get to go fishing. They'll give you this free excursion in this beautiful boat. You should see the picture of the boat. Well, we sat through a whole afternoon of one of the days of Mazatlan was sitting through this whole afternoon of a timeshare. And then the next morning, we were allowed to go on this beautiful excursion, fishing excursion. Well, in the morning, the guy didn't show up. So we're all waiting there, me and Crystal and our 5 kids, and we're not going to go fishing because he didn't come to pick us up. But we found out where he was, so we took a taxi to where he was. We found this guy in this little old sort of aluminum boat, a 16, 18-foot boat. And this guy, he couldn't understand one word of English, and we knew no Spanish whatsoever. But I showed him the card I had. I said, here, you owe us a fishing trip. We're going fishing. My kids are fishing today. So we started up this little thing. We all got in this fishing boat, and he started heading out. And, I mean, he just went, and he went, and he went. But we would try to talk to him, and he didn't know any English. You know, we'd ask him about the fishing or, you know, how many fishing rods you had or the weather. He would just look, something like that, right? And we got, like, miles out, and all of a sudden the motor just went sputter, 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 and it stopped. And then he looked at me, and he said, uh-oh. So apparently he did speak English. Anyways, we caught 3 fish. Crystal caught the biggest one, and it was like this big off the ground. It was a Maui Maui, right? We also caught a pelican. We let the pelican go. Anyways, the point is, you know, God's good, and that was just a little gift. It was just a treasure. It was a memory. When we get together, we still laugh ourselves till we're crying about some of the crazy things that we did on the bus trip to Mazatlan. So God's good. Come on up, Pauline. Trying to focus on good memories too, right? Brother, let me pray for you. In the name of Jesus, we pray that the word of God would be proclaimed today in truth. We pray that we will receive it according to how your spirit plants the seeds of this truth in our heart. We pray for our brother that he will just speak clearly and that he will bring the word of God, a word that we need to hear, a word of encouragement. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Let's just go straight to the Word of God this morning. I'll be talking about what our songs have been all about this morning, about good, good Father. I've been blessed by the testimonies. I've been blessed also by the family of Brother Fortin that is here this morning. This is a testimony to the fact that God is at work in the life of every person here. If you have your Bible with you, can you open with me to Luke chapter 15? I'll be talking about a father. Normally, people preach on this subject about the prodigal son. But today, this morning, I'll be preaching about a prodigal father. Yes, Luke chapter 15. If we can have it on the screen, it would be marvelous. In fact, chapter 15 of the book of Luke tells about three things: the lost coin, and then the lost son, and then what's the other one, if you remember? The lost sheep. Well, the order is the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Specifically, I'll be making emphasis on the main character, which is the prodigal father, as today is the Father's Day. I don't have enough time to talk about my father, but in short, I owe everything to the fact that I'm here today knowing God because my father, my dad, taught me how to trust God. He taught me how to pray. But he's in glory now. He passed away almost 28 years ago. Well, talking about Father, Father is here on earth as he plans it, as he designs it. Father is to be the representative of God. It's a heavy responsibility if you see it that way. Yes, fathers were intended by God to exemplify him. So if we are ready with the passage, if not, I'll just pick up some verses from this passage leading towards this prodigal father. As I said, that we are here as fathers as examples of who or what our Heavenly Father is like. Well, the Bible refers often to God as our Father. It's not a blasphemy. Some other religion, if they hear that, they say it's a blasphemy. But the Bible teaches that God is our Father, our Heavenly Father. Even there are some verses, like in Isaiah chapter 63, verse 16, it says, "You, Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer, from of old is your name." In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 16, it says about Jesus teaching us that we should let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and that they may glorify our Father which is in heaven. Talking about the Lord's Prayer in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 9. That prayer begins with the word, "Our Father, which are in heaven." And then Paul the Apostle, in his writing to the church in Romans, it's Romans 8:15, it says, "The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." Those verses refer to our Heavenly Father. Now let me read to you from my list. There are some verses about our earthly fathers. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 12. This was mentioned by a brother sitting there earlier. He said, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. This is the only command out of the Decalogue of the Ten Commandments with a promise, guaranteed. If you honor your father and your mother. And Psalm 103, verse 13. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 24. The father of the righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. Ephesians 6, verses 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, For this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise. Earthly fathers were meant by God, as I said earlier, to reflect the life of God so that his children may imitate him. You may think it is a very hard thing to do, but if you allow God living in you, they'll see God, not you, but they'll see God living in you and through you. Well, you might say that the statement that I have just made sounds a little bit sexist, because as if it refers to father, 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 well, you mothers are a blessing also from God.
Every father knows
it. Amen. So I'm not being sexist, I'm being realistic, and I'm being biblically consistent with this passage. There's a study that says that there is a positive correlation or connection between, I think this is Pastor Sun that said earlier, I wish I could spend more time within the circle of my family and my sons. So the study says like this, there is a correlation between fathers who spend more time with their children, that the children's IQ is getting better and higher, and these children are more socially mobile. Children that do not have good influence or good presence of the father in their life, this is a general statement, will suffer some sort of adverse effects. Doesn't mean that if you don't have the presence of your father, that you will suffer that much. If you understand that God has made himself available to fill that vacuum in your life. So let's go to the topic today about the prodigal father, which is in Luke 15. Father in this passage is special because Jesus is using that parable, that example, for him to describe what the Heavenly Father is like. Many in this life get the wrong idea about what our Heavenly Father is like. Some see God as distant, as being angry all the time, ready to smack you if you make a mistake. That's the wrong picture. He's not distant, he's not aloof, he's not angry anymore since Jesus died on the cross. Because many people in this world see God the Father the same way as they see their earthly fathers. So Jesus told the story in Luke chapter 15. This story about the Father is really the opposite of what many people think about God. If they try to make a parallel between the earthly fathers and the heavenly Father. Because our heavenly Father, he's a merciful Father, he's a caring Father, he's a loving one, he's a forgiving Father. That's why I call him from this title of this message today as a prodigal father. Prodigal means, by definition, is that he is recklessly extravagant in showing his love to his children. That's what we have been singing all along this morning. Praise God, and thank you, Sister Crystal. It has blessed my heart. I was in tears when we were singing this morning. Tears of gratitude, tears of joy mixed together. So this extravagant, loving Father, he can fulfill the father hunger. Every one of us has this kind of hunger in our spirit, in our soul. So if you suffer from this father hunger within you this morning, God has made himself available through Jesus Christ so that he can fill through the Holy Spirit that vacuum. He can satisfy that hunger within you. So verse 12, Luke 15. This verse says about the younger son saying to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate or the inheritance." So the father divided his property between the sons. I imagine one-third goes to him, because according to the Jewish tradition, the oldest son always received double portion. So two-thirds to the eldest, and one-third to this younger son. Well, if you say that to your dad, it's equivalent as saying, because your dad is still alive, "Hey, Dad, I wish you are dead, so I could have my inheritance." This is not honoring his father, a statement like that, or a request like that. Whereas, you know, in the book of Deuteronomy, but again, remember, this is the old covenant. In the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy says, chapter 21, "If you dishonor your father and mother, the consequence of dishonoring your parents is death. Praise God, Jesus has come. We cannot fulfill the old covenant, but Jesus has. We live in the new covenant era now because of his grace. Yes, this young son, he is foolish. He is a waster. He is good for nothing. You think that that statement is too harsh for him? Look at his life. But the son is so undeserving, yet the father gives what he asked for. Don't misunderstand me. It does not mean that if your son asks for anything from you, that you should always say yes, that you should always give. No, that's not the meaning. My point is that our Heavenly Father is so much more generous to you and to me that he gives us his love, he gives us his grace more than we deserve. In fact, we don't deserve his love. We deserve punishment, we deserve damnation, and we deserve death and hell. But he gives his grace instead, and abundantly he gives that. Remember the book of James, chapter 1, verse 7, it says, every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly light, who does not change like shifting shadows. Yes, he doesn't have any shadow of turning as far as his grace is concerned. And we are still living in the age of grace today. But when he comes again, that grace will come to an end. So if you haven't received that grace, today is the day for you. I received his grace many years ago. I praise him and I thank him. And my life has been turned around because of his grace. Not because of my works, not because I have done something good, but through faith, by grace, by faith through grace, I'm saved. Ephesians 2 says, yes, the Bible says, you know this verse, John 3:16, God so loves, and he proves that love, by giving his only son. He has only one son, not two, not three, only one. And he just gives that one son because he loves. Yes, God's nature is to give, even though we don't deserve nothing. We don't deserve nothing good from him. But he gives anyway. And Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, is just like his Father. See, like Father, like Son. Book of Ephesians 5, verse 25, it says, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, for church. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of our Heavenly Father, because he is a giving Father. I pray today that we too, as fathers here on earth, are enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit to show this reckless, extravagant love of giving in our life. So that's the first. The prodigal father gives. Second one, if you follow along with me, in verse 13 until 19, it talks about this prodigal father that waits. Well, there's quite a lapse of time after the young son has left the home, and then he's living his life out there, all to his own liking, to his own desires, which is sinful and earthly. But the father is praying, the father is believing, the father is trusting, yearning, longing for his son, that someday his son will come back home. Pastor's son said it. And let me quote your words, your phrase, Pastor's son. Coming to his senses. I love that phrase. Now, this son, we don't know yet how long until he comes to his senses. But the father keeps praying. The father keeps yearning until his son comes to his senses. He's waiting and praying, waiting and praying, waiting and praying until the son comes to his senses. And in verse 20, this prodigal father sees. Let me read part of that verse. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. I love that. I'd like to talk a little bit about casting your vision or stretching out your hope. Yes, this prodigal father was waiting, he was hoping, he was believing that his son would come home. And this is the picture of our Heavenly Father. This is the Father's heart in heaven. He is longing to seek and to save the lost, the wretched. And the reason why he sent Jesus to come to this world is just for that purpose. I believe the father had already seen his son return in his dreams. I want you today to dream. You have been praying maybe. Praying and dreaming. It can go hand in hand together. Dream of something big from God. Dream of something which by human standard cannot take place. Keep dreaming, keep dreaming, keep dreaming. The word of God will support your dream. So this prodigal father prayed long enough for that to happen. He had envisioned that someday his son will return home. Now he was just waiting for the day. And I want each one of us, whether you are a father or a mother, a brother, a sister, here in this place, that you do the same thing. See something that the lost will come home. Maybe it's a member of your family. Maybe it's your relative. Maybe part of this community. Maybe some people in Red Deer. But see in your vision. Try to envision now in your spirit that these people will come to their senses by the grace and the power of God, and they'll return home. And they will come to know Christ, the only hope. Yes, continue to have vision. Continue to have hope. Continue to have faith for the salvation of the unsaved. For the salvation of the family members or loved ones who are still far away. For the salvation or restoration of friends that you have, that they may turn away from their sinful life and that they may come to Christ and that they may make it right again with the Lord. Our Father in heaven has that kind of heart. He sees the lost sheep being found. He sees the lost coin that can be found. He also knows that lost souls can return home to him. And still in verse 20, it says that this prodigal father feels. Part of that verse says, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. I like that word, compassion. Compassion means feeling mercy inside to the point that your inward parts are moving. That's the meaning of compassion. You don't use your head too much to analyze. You don't say, oh, it is because you have done something wrong. You better learn that hard lesson. That is not compassion. This prodigal father was moved with compassion for his son. That's the way God is seeing each one of us. He's moved with compassion. And I praise him for that compassion. And I receive his mercy. And Jesus also, many times, he was moved with compassion, just like his father. Jesus is the picture of the father. That's why in the book of John it says, you said you haven't seen the father? Well, you have seen me. I'm the exact representation of the Father. That's what he says to his disciple. Those of you, if you are hurting today, if you are suffering or agonizing, those of you, those of us, if you are beaten up, or beaten down by life, remember, our Heavenly Father is moved with his divine compassion to each one of us. Even if you have squandered your lives away, even if you have wasted what he has given you, remember, God cares. God loves. He is moved with compassion. He hurts too. If you are hurting today, our Heavenly Father is hurting too because of his compassion, because of his love. Just imagine the picture, my brother. Look at this sorry, pitiful sight of this young son or younger son. Doesn't have any money. Maybe the only clothes that he has is the clothes, set of clothes that he was wearing when he worked feeding the pigs, maybe the sandals or the shoes. At that time, in that culture, they don't have shoes like we do today. Mostly they wore sandals. Even those sandals have been worn out, maybe stinky sandals. with holes, tattered. But do you hear what the Father says? When he returns home, he calls for his best sandals to be brought to him. So again, God feels your pain. Whatever you may have gone through or are going through today at this moment, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you, and he has compassion on you. Whether your problem, let me repeat it again, whether your problem are due to your own fault or not, he cares for you all the same. Still on verse 20, I'll dwell on that this prodigal father runs upon seeing his son coming home. He runs. Yes, he ran to his son. Running means making rapid, straight movement. He rushes. He advanced rapidly with all the might and strength that he had. Sometimes I'm an observer. I observe people walking with dignity. Well, I admire them. They don't walk rather fast. Some people walk fast, straight. Sometimes they don't see left and right. They just walk like that. That's like a bullet. I can imagine that this father, upon seeing his father coming home, he ran rapidly. He cast away all his dignity as a father. I could imagine this father, this prodigal father, casting all that dignity aside. Yes. If you don't believe me, read Philippians chapter 2. Jesus, the representation of the Father, he left the glory of heaven. He could have been born in the hospital, but he chose the place, the manger, as the place where he was born. Dignity cast aside. The glory of heaven, the majesty that he used to have in heaven, casting aside simply because he was running towards you and to me because of his love. So based on the culture or what the people wore in those days, with long rope, I could imagine that he was pulling his rope or the hem of his garment so that he could run towards his son. I like this picture so much. And I could almost see him crying or screaming, "My son, my son, my son," running towards his son. You see, God is running towards you because of his love, because he was moved with his compassion. Yes, he loves us so much and he delights in us so much that you could see his reaction, or his response, rather, I'd say, in a similar way to your repentance. If you make a turnaround, if you know that your way has been wrong, and then you make a turnaround, and you're heading towards home, if you take the steps of salvation by faith. I don't know, I just hope everybody in this place has welcomed, has received Jesus Christ to be the Savior of their life already. But just in case there are any within these four walls today who haven't said yes to Jesus, today is the day that you welcome him, that you feel his compassion, that you receive his embrace, that you see him smiling in tears, welcoming you home. He'll make you the member of his family. When it comes to his lost children coming home, I think, forgive me if you don't agree, when it comes to his lost children coming home, God, our Father, looks very undignified because he is very excited about you and about me. Still on verse 20, this prodigal father shows loving acceptance. Yes, he ran to his son and threw his arm around him and kissed him. Running, embracing, and kissing. And remember, this is not done just out of formality. No. This is true affection. This is the expression of true love. Because this prodigal father kissed his son fervently. Meaning to say, this is the exhibition of total acceptance, total forgiveness, and total extravagance of love. Are you proud this morning to have a heavenly Father like that? Give him praise, please. Let me end today by saying that this prodigal father restores sonship. Thank you, brother. You mentioned this also in your testimony this morning. You came to recognize the sonship by the power of the Holy Spirit from God. This prodigal father restores sonship. This is in verse 22. Listen to the verse. It says, but the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Robe, ring, sandals. Would you please see the father here giving what is totally undeserved to his son? I'd like to make an emphasis on this because this is very fundamental to understanding the grace of God. Ring means that the son is reinstated or putting back, reinstated to sonship as part of the family. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sandals, talking again about that culture, are worn only by sons or masters. Servants carry the sandals of their master
for the master's sons. So by giving this ring and by giving these sandals to the son, the father, in effect, is saying, I refuse to receive you as servant. You are my son, and I declare now that you are fully restored. I hope you hear that in your spirit. Now it comes to the celebration in verses 22 and 24. The father said, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found. So they began to celebrate. I think last Sunday I heard, oh no, maybe several Sundays ago, Sister Christine quoted a scripture from the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3 and verse 17. Because that verse says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Very rare we heard God singing. But if you turn from your wrong ways, from your ungodly ways, every time you do that, you make our Heavenly Father sing. What a Father, eh? What a Father we have. What an awesome Father. What a good, good Father we have in heaven. So he sees you today that you are really something. He can make a nobody into a somebody. You're something in the eyes of the Father in heaven. I pray today that you have seen a new way of the grace of God and how great our Father's love toward us. The Apostle John said it so well in the book that he wrote in 1 John 3:1. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the children of God. Remember, you are not slaves. Remember, you are not a hired help to help God. Remember, you are not a paid or salaried employee of God. No. You are sons and daughters of the living God. Hallelujah. When looking back, I had a desire in my heart to be like my dad, even though he passed away many, many years ago. To some degree, this is also the yearning of every son. In a good way, of course. Now my question to you, whether you are a man or a woman, a mother or a father, today, here in this place, do you want to be like your Heavenly Father? I do want to be like Him. I want to have a heart like His heart. Heart of love. A heart that can give. To have the attitude that can wait, that can see with my spirit. I want to be like Him so that I can see also. I want to be like our Heavenly Father that can embrace and accept unconditionally. I want to be like Him that can bless and celebrate the lost people who are coming back home. I will stop, but I'll give you an opportunity, maybe in the next 3 or 4 minutes. If you do not have a loving relationship with your Heavenly Father, you can feel that vacuum. You can have that vacuum filled by this Heavenly Father with the Father figure in your bosom, in your heart. You can start one today on this Father's Day. You can say a prayer very much like what this younger son said to his father. You can say something like, Father, I have sinned against you. I have done so many things wrong, ungodly. I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. So simple. I want you to be my Lord, to be my King, to be my Father, to be my leader. I'm your son. Accept my request. I want you to be my Father. Based on the works of Jesus on the cross, the Spirit will say to your heart, if you say that from the bottom of your heart, today, 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 I accept you as my son. May God drive this even further into your spirit, the grace that He has shown to you, and your position as the son and the daughter of the living God. God bless you all.
This won't take long, but we're gonna end by having the women sing over the men. So I want all the men to come to the front right now. I like what he said, and I think that's a great blessing. So, you know, don't be afraid. Come on up. Come on up. And the women, get around us here. We need this blessing today. And you don't need to, you're not going to be singing solos, but come on up. Let's go, everyone. We need this blessing. We need the women to bless us and to remind us that we are righteous because of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm going to ask Barb, because I love what you said earlier, just to say a prayer. And then maybe, Crystal, you can start the song, Father, We Love You. And we'll join with that. So come on up. Let's all stand together, guys. Let's let the women surround us. You guys can get up on the stage. We need to bless each other. Amen? We need to encourage each other. And so that's what we're doing. Come on up.
There's still a few guys making their way up here. What about you guys in the sound booth, nah? Yes? Come on. Come on, Tim. Come on, Jeff. Thank you. Lord, we are privileged here, Lord, to sing over these men in our lives and part of our church family, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would strengthen them today, that they would receive that compassion and love and forgiveness from you, Lord. God, that you will touch their spirits in a new way. Lord, that it would go deep, deep, deep into their spirit, Lord. That we need you every day, Lord, and we thank you, God, that you never give up on us, Lord. Thank you for this moment, and help us just enjoy the time of singing, and may the men feel worthy to receive. God, in your eyes, each one is worthy and acceptable and full of integrity. So, God, help them take their roles in their family, in their situations, to be leaders and hold their head up high and to walk through life, God, with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship and adore you, Lord.
adore you, glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name, glorify thy name, glorify thy name in all the earth. Spirit, love you, we worship and adore you.
Gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you his peace.